Well, let's jump on over to that Diamond Factory ticket hotline. He will be at the Arlington Improv coming up tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. It is Donnell Rawlings joining us. How's it going?
Something's got a hold on me lately, and I don't know myself. I'm just embodying my Teddy Swims. What's going on, guys?
Very nice.
Nothing much, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Man,
life
it is
good.
So much to talk to you about, man, because, you know, as a society now, we just sit there and kind of scroll through whatever social media platform you do. And for some reason, man, you are in my, what do they call that?
Algorithms.
Yes, you are, because a lot of different videos will pop up and talking about, you know, Chappelle's Show and other different things as far as comedy goes, and I'm very interested in that. So let's start there, because the one with Wayne Brady came up and him kind of explaining how he got back on the show, and it was you that kind of saw him out randomly to say, hey, man, we love you, don't worry about it, because he was truly upset about the skit from Paul Mooney. And that you kind of calmed the waters a bit, and he came on, and it's probably one of the more iconic sketches from Chappelle's Show. So I wanted you to talk about that. And then the follow-up question is, when you guys were filming this, did you think it would be the cultural phenomenon that it turned out to be?
All right, first of all, I love Wayne Brady, but he's a liar.
Okay.
No, when I say that story, I think he kind of like fabricated it so much. I think he might have ran into somebody else, but it wasn't me. And it wasn't like he bullied me or anything like that. But I will say that one sketch where we spoofed Training Day is one of my favorite sketches, because it was the first time that you saw Wayne Brady outside of him like being funny. You saw him as a thespian and a serious actor. And I liked the way Dave extended the olive branch to him.
Right.
But part of that story was fabricated. I love Wayne Brady, but that's not how the story went down. But we was happy to have him on the show. And for the most part, he might deny it or might not understand it, but that really gave Wayne Brady his street creds.
No doubt. It was one where you definitely saw him in a different light, because I don't know how much, you know, people thought that he could, you know, be funny and make fun of himself, but man, it really shone in that. So did you guys think when you were filming that whole entire thing that two and a half, three seasons, that it will still live on now and people still reference it?
I don't know if Dave or Neil expected it, but because I was like really in touch with like the if you want to say the hood or the urban side of things, and I also was connected with the mainstream side of things, and that was one of the first shows I saw in a long time that everybody across the board, whether you're black, white, gender, non-binary, unbinary, whatever, was one of those shows where it resonated with everybody, man. And we're talking about, I'm guessing, like 20 years later, it's still relevant in pop culture. Like you said earlier, it shows up in your algorithms. And for some reason, I can go anywhere in the country and say, I'm rich! And the rest, and people know exactly where it came from.
Man, that's awesome. You've done so much with your film work that you've done. The Chappelle Show, of course. You were in The Wire as a recurring character. You've done so much television, and you do the stand-up. Do you have a preference or something that you enjoy the most out of those genres of the art that you do?
I get pleasures out of both of them. For the most part, stand-up is my bread and butter. I'm more passionate about that. I look at acting as a time for me just to play make-believe and just to have fun. Acting is more challenging to me because I'm used to getting immediate response on what my skill set is. I do a joke, it was not funny, people don't laugh. I was like, oh, you don't do that joke no more. But I can prepare for a character and I can put my best foot forward, and for some reason it might not resonate with the directors, it might not resonate with people that's watching it, and it's totally different. But what I will say, when I'm challenged to do either one, I put my best foot forward. But the thing that I really, really appreciate more is being able to go out across the country and across the world and be able to put a smile on people's face and make them laugh and remove them for any difficulties or anything that's troubling them. If it's not for 45 minutes, it could be an hour. But the fact that you can use me as therapy to relieve yourself of some of the stressful things that are going on in your life, I really appreciate that more than anything.
Donnell Rawlings will be at the Arlington Improv Friday, two shows, Saturday, two shows, and Sunday for one. He joins us lunchtime here on The Invasion. Man, just a lot of, I don't want to say comedy is under attack, but it's a lot of, with so many cameras and films and people putting clips and things out there, a lot of people may feel a little bit nervous to just do their comedy and what feels right to them because they're worried about being canceled or whatever like that. Do you find it a little more difficult now to go out there and entertain, or you just go out and try to do your thing?
No, I don't find it difficult. I definitely believe in freedom of speech. But with that said, there's a certain level of responsibilities. For every action, there's an equal or greater reaction. So as much as you want to exercise the freedom of speech, you got to understand that what you say, there it might be some repercussions. I don't really go too hard where, like, it's not too many shows I'm going to have with people like walk out. I will test the waters. I believe that a joke could be too soon, but it never could be too soon for an observation. So when you come out to my show, you're going to get observational things that are reflective of me, my point of view. Sometimes it's self-deprecating, and it's kind of hard not to talk about the things that are like in pop culture and like the hot topics that's going on in the world. So I try to touch everything. But at the same time, I don't take myself that serious, and I go out there for people to have fun. I want to enjoy the audience as much as I hope they enjoy me.
How much does that change? I mean, like we talked about, you're doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Arlington Improv. So how much does that change? You have a structure to your act, and then based on the audience and how they react of which way you decide to go.
Yeah, for the most part, I do know what I want to hit, but I never know how I'm going to get there. And I like to try to keep myself open for, like, possibility or some improvisation. Even though people know you have a set or this is, like, the thing that this is your show, but it is something special about them feeling that you're creating some comedy right in that moment. So I try to keep myself open for my show and the possibility of just creating something right on the spot.
Donnell Rawlings joining us from the Chappelle Show and the various other things here at Lunchtime with the Invasion for a few more minutes. I suspect that this will go either one or two ways. As far as you younger knowing this is what you wanted to do when you figured it out, were you like the quiet guy in school that no one said, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, or you're just the absolute class clown that cracked everyone up and said, you know what, I need to make this a living? Which end of the spectrum were you?
Well, I don't like the word class clown. I was a class performer.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there you go. That's a good way of putting it.
I was the class humorous. But even with that coming up, like, even with that as a part of my childhood, I never, like, you talk to some comics, like, I knew when I was a kid I wanted this. I didn't know this was what I wanted to do. For me, it was a dare. I used to go to this comedy club in D.C. I would heckle the comedians, and the owner wanted me to shut up, so he dared me to go on stage. I went on stage, and 32 years later, I never looked back. But I never, as a kid, I never was like, I'm going to be an actor or a comedian. But one thing led to another. Once I got into the stand-up, I wanted to test myself. That evolved into me doing some acting. But it was never anything a part of, like, my plan when I was a kid. It just happened. I took advantage of it.
So you're heckling comedians, yeah, on stage.
That's wild.
I find this fascinating.
Me too.
Did they call you up right then and there, or did they say, okay, tomorrow night, come back on stage, I dare you? And do you remember that first joke that you remember the audience laughing, saying, all right, this is it, this is the rush, yeah, I feel?
I don't remember the first joke, but I remember I was such a good heckler that people started coming to the open mic just to, like, where's that guy, the heckler, where's that guy, right? And then I was so cocky that I went to the club owner, I was like, look, I've increased your attendance by at least 30%. You need to cut me a deal. I never touched a microphone in my life. And he thought that was kind of insulting for me to say that. He's like, who are you? So they put me on the open mic list maybe like 2 weeks after that. And the first time I ever touched a microphone, I got a standing ovation. And I don't think it was just because I was that funny. I think it was because people was coming to see me. And I had a lot of people at my job used to come. And I think people felt like it was a birth of comedian. From the moment I first touched the stage, I got a standing up, and I realized I had to get fired from my job. Because not like white folks, well, white folks quit jobs. Black folks get fired so they can get the unemployment. I said, I need a safety net so I could take this 6 months of unemployment, go to New York, and I never looked back.
And just in case it didn't work out, you go and find another job, right?
Yeah, I was like this, man. I was like, how can I get fired from this job? I'm never going to be like this. You know what? I don't like the work conditions here. I quit. I was like, no, y'all going to have to fire me because I'm getting my unemployment.
What were you doing? What job were you doing when you got fired?
I was, no, this sounds weird. I was the head of security for a grocery chain called Safeway.
Okay.
Because I was before that, I was in the military. I was a police officer. So I was waiting to be a D.C. police officer in D.C. So this was a job I had in between me getting hired as a D.C. cop. Wow. And there was this guy that worked for Hostess Cupcake Company. and he would like stock the shelves up with hosted cupcakes, honey buns and stuff. And he was a comedian at night, and he would give us tickets. And he used to give us free tickets, and that's how I started. I took those free tickets. I went to the comedy club. I started heckling. They challenged me. And then, if you want to say, the rest is history.
Man, that is incredible. I don't think I've ever heard a startup story like that. That's great. So when you talk about, you know, sayings from comedians that will live forever, man, yours is right there towards the top. I know I can't imagine you just walking through an airport or a store and people yelling at you, "I'm rich, bitch," all the time. Like, it has to be multiple times a day.
It's always happened, but it's been kind of like a gift and a curse. Because whenever I go to restaurants with my friend, nobody grabs their wallet.
They're like, right.
You know, but, you know, a lot of people like, "Oh, I've done more than that." And I have done things before the Chappelle Show, and I've done things after the Chappelle Show. But I was also a part of a show that some people consider one of the best sketch shows in the history of comedy. So I embrace the people. Like, do you get mad at people calling you Ashley Larry? It is so hard in this business to be recognized for anything. So if you can connect with me with any characters I've done on Chappelle Show, if you connect with me from The Wire, The Corner, BMF, if you connect with my voice from Soul, the animation that won an Oscar by Pixar, if you come to see me do live comedy, I guarantee you'll become a lifetime fan.
That is awesome, man. Five shows this weekend, Arlington Improv, yeah. 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday. Man, it's a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us. And I know the shows are going to be awesome this weekend. So have fun, man. And hopefully we can talk to you again real soon.
Thank you for your time.
That is Donnell Rawlings, who will be at the Arlington Improv this weekend. So if you would and enjoy a comedy show, go check him out.